1380 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on, boy, could it be any more dreary today? I mean, really, it is gray, it is wet. We've actually gotten more rain than we were expecting. Forecast still says occasional drizzle. We've had some pretty occasional heavy rain here over the past couple of hours, but we make our own sunshine. A lot of guests today. We're going to be talking a little bit later on the program with guests from Butler County Community College. But the Butler Little Theater is going to be hosting some exciting stuff over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about that here today with our guests. Let me, first of all, welcome longtime board member of the Butler Little Theater. Sue Caller is here. Sue, good to see you.
Hi, Dave. Always good to see you.
Oh, same. Same indeed. Michael Dittman is also here. Second time that we've had Michael on the program.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for having me today, Dave.
He's the founder of a lab performance group here in Western Pennsylvania.
That's right, along with my wife, Amy.
And you have, you came to the Little Theater last year and did a Reader's Theater.
That's right. We did a Reader's Theater of Imaginary Friends last year, and it was really successful, and it was a lot of fun, too, I think, which was one of the big goals of it, both for the audience and for the players. And so we decided to keep on going on.
And you've got another Reader's Theater coming up in about a week and a half.
Yeah. Next Saturday, we're going to be doing Connor McPherson's The Weir. It's sort of a spooky story in many ways for the Halloween season. It's going to be doors open at 7. Show starts at 7:30. It's only a $5 ticket, so people who have never been to the theater before and want to check out just how fantastic the Butler Little Theater are, it's a really low entry fee to see a great show and a great venue.
We'll talk more about it in just a moment or so. I want to introduce our other guest. Jerome Winsick is here as well. Jerome, nice to meet you. You've never been here before.
No, I have not. I'm excited to be here.
And you're going to be singing at the Little Theater this Saturday.
Yes, I will, Saturday night.
Yeah. So do you have a title for this show, or is it just a common... you have a guitar, so it must be acoustic show, right?
Yeah. As far as my own show goes, I just go by my name. And I write a bunch of songs about a bunch of different things. I think the one I play later is going to be about how it's never sunny in Pennsylvania.
That might work. Well, we want to talk to you about, first of all, you from around here?
I live in Oil City now.
Okay.
I grew up in Tyonesta and moved away for a while, but yeah, I'm somewhat local.
Tyonesta Dam.
Yep.
That would be up there by, what's the name of that golf course up there, Sue?
I was just trying to think, that Cabin Green, is that correct? I
can't think of the name of it. No, it's right along the Allegheny River.
Oh, right. Hunter Station.
Hunter Station.
Hunter Station,
yeah,
yes, that's it.
That's it. We golfed there, Dave and I.
That bridge that went across just got replaced. The old one just got blown up last week.
Oh, cool.
The only place I've ever played golf where a bridge went right through the middle of the golf. Well, a bit parenthetical, but it's nice to have you down here. And again, your concert is this Saturday, so that's day after tomorrow.
Yes.
Concert time is, do you know, on Saturday night?
7 to 9.
Doors open at 7, show starts at 7:30. It's a $10 ticket, and it's actually benefiting the Butler Little Theater. This whole series works to benefit the Butler Little Theater.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute with Sue, because she's a longtime board member, and it's only within the past couple of 3 years that the Little Theater has started to present a lot more entertainment than simply your... Simply. you mount a full season of five shows, which is...
Plus the summer one, then the children's workshop. But no, we're not busy.
Other than that.
But you have added, while, for example, Biloxi Blues just closed this past Saturday night, the next full-scale show, which is Boeing, I think, is now in rehearsal.
Correct.
And will be for about 5 or 6 weeks. So you have a little bit of time where you can schedule some other entertainment.
Yes. Set construction is underway for Boeing, which opens November 24th, so it's not that far away. But in the meantime, we're going to have both the Reader's Theater and Jerome. So as long as it's something that can be done on a stage that could be in various steps of construction, if that doesn't interfere with, you know, whatever people want to do, and if it's something that we can fit into the schedule, we're more than happy to rent it out and benefit the performers and also benefit the theater.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a nice venue for... have you been to the theater yet, Jerome?
I haven't gotten to be in there
so
yet.
So you have to do a sound check sometime, maybe today while you're in town?
Yep.
It's very intimate. It's perfect for a singer-songwriter. It really is.
Well, I'm excited.
I don't like a big house when I'm, you know, singer-songwriter. Once the last singer-songwriter I saw was Tom Rush at the Carnegie Lecture Hall
in
Pittsburgh. Lovely space. Felt like I was right next to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we'll talk with Jerome in just a minute or so. In fact, I think, as they say in the old country in Ireland, we may be able to coax a little tune out of him here before we leave today. But speaking of Ireland, let's talk about this this play by Conor McPherson, The Weir. Now, first of all, it's not this Saturday, it's the following one, which is the 21st.
21st, yep.
Do you buy tickets in advance, or do you get them at the door?
No pre-sale. We're only selling them at the door.
Get them at the door on Saturday the 21st. And this is Reader's Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that, Michael Dittman, because some folks, they may have never seen Reader's Theater before. They may not know what it is.
Absolutely. So there's a number of plays that I love, but are just too big, maybe in cast or in set, or too sort of specialized to really pull off the kind of long runs that the BLT does with their fantastic main stage shows. So with Reader's Theater, what we're going to have is just the cast will be sitting down on stage. The script will be in front of them. They'll be performing it in character, but there won't be the entrances and the exits. There won't be the sort of stage movement. So it really focuses on the the play itself, the words itself, mm-hmm. which is super appropriate for this show because there's a lot of ghost stories in it. It really brings the audience into a close connection with the players, I think.
You know, Halloween's only about 2 weeks away.
That's right.
This is done by equity companies, by professional companies in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Classical Theater just did one this summer. I did not see it. I can't remember the name of it right now. But the Reader's Theater, as it's called, when you don't have time to have a cast memorize an entire show mm-hmm. and rehearse it for weeks and weeks, I mean, these are actors. It's not just somebody pulling off the street reading from a book, but they don't have to memorize it, and there's no blocking or anything like that.
That's right.
You really have to use your imagination, which I think is the best part of live theater anyway.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still go through 2 weeks of rehearsals. You know, the actors are, a couple of the actors could probably do the show without the book, but it's right there, and it really just, as you say, it just paints this incredible theater of the mind, as the cliche goes.
Now, do you and Amy use local folks or a combination of your staff and local people?
All local people. You know, there's so many good actors in this area. And it's nice, too. Justin Anderson is one of our actors, mm-hmm. and he has done some great main stage work. He's also sort of pressed for time with his job. And so this way he can keep his feet in. The audience gets to see this incredible actor who they might not have otherwise. And it's a great, I don't want to say compromise, a great meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So this show especially, it's all local actors.
Let's talk a little bit about the show, The Weir, by Conor McPherson. First of all, Conor McPherson it's hard to say. He's still young, but he's been around for a while. When he first burst onto the literary scene in Ireland, he was just like a baby, and he still looks very young.
Yeah, he still does, very baby-faced.
Yeah, but he's got a long list now of plays that he's written. He's even done a few movies now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell us about The Weir. First of all, it all takes place in a pub, right?
It all takes place in a pub, which is also The Weir. It's a group of gentlemen from Ireland who get together in a pub. They're old friends. They get together and they tell stories. And one night, an outsider comes in, a blow-in, Valerie, who is buying a house in this very rural sort of area. And they're sitting around telling ghost stories, trying to impress Valerie, more or less. And then Valerie leaves for a little bit, and she comes back, and she sort of drops this bombshell of a story. And suddenly everyone's attitude sort of change away from, well, let's tell these scary stories and see where they go, to, you know, a real change of heart and a real interpersonal moment and a real moment of caring. So the show has got really funny lines, it's got really scary stories, and it also is really touching in many ways as well.
Do your actors, it's in a pub.
Yeah.
Do they They have a drink in their hand when they're reading?
They're not imbibing on stage. That, you know, funny you should mention. That was suggested many times for some reason by the actors. I'm not sure why.
Is it specific in its location, or does it just say, you know, somewhere way out in the countryside in rural Ireland late at night?
It's pretty specific. It's in northeastern Ireland, up from Sligo. And so McPherson really creates that, with the play, really creates that atmosphere where you can really feel it being sort of out there in the middle of nowhere in northeastern Ireland.
Ghosts are very big in it. Yeah, it sounds like you know a lot about Irish literature.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ghosts are very big in Irish literature.
Yeah, a pub and ghost stories and a peat fire, you know, all in this play. What could be more classically Irish?
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to... I refer to them as the fairies in many cases, even all the way back to Celtic times, you know.
There is a fantastic story about the fairy road in the Weir. One of the stories that the gentlemen tell Valerie is about how her house is on the fairy road and how that could account for some spooky things.
There was always a fear, and you don't have to go back all this far, and certainly in rural Ireland, out in the countryside, where people worried about the fairies. And when they would be coming up from the Tír na n-Óg, the underworld. And Irish writers, great ones, have written about this forever.
Absolutely. It's a long tradition.
W.B. Yeats, William Butler Yeats, Land of Heart's Desire.
Yeah.
Where they were worried about a newborn baby, and they were worried about the fairies coming and stealing her. You know, I'm a little shaky just talking about it.
Yeah, and the changelings, you know, that's another great, where the fairies would come in and trade out a fairy for the baby to have the humans raise it. Yeah, there's a long genesis of this, and McPherson really loves it all, I think, in the way that he writes it. Yeah.
And if you've never seen, heard, read any Conor McPherson, there's a lot of underneath stuff in this play. I mean, okay, on the surface, it's about people telling ghost stories in a pub one night. But there's a lot of stuff underneath it about life and love and death and all this sort of thing.
That was one of the first things that I talked to the actors about. Yes, we're telling ghost stories, but we're really talking about loss and what it means to get older and what it means to be alone in a place and these sort of things that are like an iceberg. You know, you have the ghost story sticking up above the water and then this huge mass of emotion and feelings underneath it.
In Celtic mythology, there were always great concerns around the four times of the year that came right between the seasons. And one of them is what we now call Halloween.
Sure.
In Celtic mythology, it was called Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at your calendar, folks, end of October is exactly halfway between the first day of fall and the first day of winter. Around September 21st and December 21st. And they have them each of the four times throughout the year. There's Beltane, and Samhain is the one that's coming up here. And the fear was, that was when they thought the dividing line between everybody on Earth and the underworld had got very, very thin. Very thin, and that was when they worried about the fairies coming up from the underground. Am I scaring anybody yet?
Like Jack says in the play, am I setting the scene for you then?
So if you're interested in The Weir, I've seen it. It's a good play.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful play, actually. It's an adult play. We should mention
that. It is, yes. It is not for children. There's a bit of cursing in it.
Mm-hmm.
As you find in Ireland when men are together in a pub. I would definitely not...
Or anywhere else.
Well, yes, I suppose.
Just Ireland.
The Irish seem to have a certain flair with obscenity, though, you know, a real care of it.
Definitely not for kids, but it's a fantastic play.
It really is.
Have you ever done any of his other stuff, any of his other plays?
Yeah, I did a full staging of Dublin Carol probably 12 years ago now. And that's another fabulous one. And I'm looking forward, I think he did The Seafarer, which at some point I would love to do a full staging of that. It's about a man who basically sells his soul in a poker game, and one night the devil comes and decides that it's time to pay up.
there's an argument about what's his masterwork at this point.
Yeah.
Is it the Seafarer or is it the Weir?
Yeah.
And it's between those two. So.
Absolutely. I mean, they're just fantastic.
Play. This was, it's what, 20-some years old now?
Yeah, 20th anniversary.
Yeah. It's been done all over the world.
Yep.
Rave reviews in New York. It's been done in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Equity companies.
Yeah, you know, fantastic production.
Mm-hmm. Connor McPherson, the other Irish playwright who's almost the same age, is probably more famous, Martin McDonagh.
Oh, yeah.
But most literary critics lean toward Connor McPherson. McDonagh's too, he's too theatrical.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a little broad.
He kills people on stage and stuff like that. I mean, But his stuff sells, too.
I'm a big fan of McDonagh. I think The Lonesome West is an underappreciated hysterical comedy. But like you said, it's also big, very broad.
Beauty Queen of Lenane.
Yeah, that just, they just redid that on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And the woman who originally played the young role, the daughter, played the mother, which I thought was fantastic casting.
And that company, that production came to Pittsburgh this spring.
Oh, and I missed that, yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, it was at the August Wilson Center.
Oh.
March or April, I think. Same cast.
Was it fantastic?
It was terrific.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where it's over and you just kind of sit there in your seat. You're not really quite ready to leave the theater yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is coming up a week from Saturday, October 21st.
Mm-hmm.
This Saturday, you have a chance to hear and listen to a singer-songwriter, Jerome Winsick, who's here in the studio with us. And I think what we're going to do here is take a quick break, because I want Jerome. Can you grab your guitar, Jerome? Can you give us a little tune when you come back here?
I could do that.
A little sample of what folks will hear on Saturday night?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a break and come back and hear Jerome in just a moment or so. It's the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Great to have you with us on a very dreary and dark day. It looks like it's about 7:30 in the morning out there, even though we're headed toward mid-afternoon. We'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Welcome back, folks. The tuning up you hear in the background is one of our guests, Jerome Winsick. Singer-songwriter from Oil City is going to be performing this Saturday night at the Butler Little Theater. Can we coax a tune out of you, Jerome?
Yes, you can.
Can you give us a little bit of a background on what you're going to play here?
This song was written about this time 10 years ago or so. It was dark and dreary, and it was unbelievably so. I thought this is something maybe you could only get in Pennsylvania. So
I'm intrigued. I can't wait.
Yeah.
At your leisure, take it away.
All right. The sun ain't shone in so long now that imagine my surprise. I saw clear blue skies in Pennsylvania. See, lately I've been thinking about finding somewhere else to lie. But I saw clear blue skies in Pennsylvania. 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 Now we should think this over.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. I like it. You wrote that about 10 years ago?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, when you write a song, I've written a song. I think in third grade I wrote a Valentine song.
It's pretty much
for Mom, you know. Do you purposefully sit down, or do you have scraps of paper somewhere, like, you know, you've been sitting in a restaurant and you get an idea for a line and you write it down? How does that happen?
Both. Sometimes you can force it or will it on write about a certain thing, but a lot of times it's the subconscious kind of coming out, presenting itself like a fairy.
Good try, Dan. You write all the lyrics first and then try to put it to music, or vice versa?
It's a symbiotic process. Both happen kind of together.
I've always marveled at many American duos who wrote together, Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. How could they do that?
You know, why, and they do it so well,
like,
like the same mind.
Yeah. You know, one guy writes the words and hands it to the other guy. It's amazing. Not the only ones, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Jerome Winsick, by the way, is from Oral City. Do you play regionally around the tri-state area?
I do. I also spend a lot of time with my family and my girlfriend working on my house. So, like, my kids are young at this point. I'm spending as much time as I can with them, and then playing as often as is comfortable.
Jerome might be too humble to mention this, but he's one of the driving forces behind the Indie Music Festival in Oil City, which has grown exponentially over the past 10 years or so.
Excellent.
Yeah, I spend a lot of my energy trying to make it better and brighter.
Did you know early on that you wanted to be a singer-songwriter, or is that?
No, I always thought somebody else would sing. but I know, you know.
Kind of like Carole King, you know. She wrote 25 or 30 hit songs for other people.
Right.
Before she finally said, I could sing these.
Yeah, that kind of was a realization I came to out of necessity.
We love folks, and if you're a regular listener to the program, you know we do this. We have visiting artists who are coming through town, going to perform. We love them and love to have them on the program. And I almost always ask this question. Who do you listen to when you come home at the end of a rough day and you kick off your shoes and you slip a disc into the CD or got your MP3 player out? Who do you listen to?
I really enjoy Tom Waits, especially his stuff for like theater with the pit band behind it. It's a really fantastic experience for me. Some old time country like Willie Nelson, I enjoy that a lot. Nine Inch Nails, So it's pretty diverse.
You and I would part company on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to at least keep it changing, though.
$10 at the door. $10 at the door?
$10 at the door.
This Saturday night, October 14th at the Butler Little Theater, which is half a block off Main Street, right at the bottom of North Main Street. Oh, there's a sign there if you've never been there before. And you can see and hear Jerome on stage. Do you do, an hour and a half or something?
I think it's going to be 2 45-minute sets.
Yeah, we're going to do two 45-minute sets.
That's pretty standard. Yeah. Well, nice to have you, Jerome.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate that little tune as well. Yeah. And don't forget, a week later, that'll be the 21st, The Weir by Connor McPherson, Reader's Theater at the Butler Little Theater. And that's also tickets at the door on the 21st, another Saturday, by the way.
That's right, yes, yeah. It's a $5 ticket.
And what time is the curtain for that performance? I think I forgot to ask.
The doors open at 7, the show's at 7:30.
7:30, okay.
Runtime of the show is about an hour and 45 minutes. There's a 10-minute intermission.
So 9 o'clock or shortly thereafter, you'll be out. And, of course, you'll be so scared you won't be able to
leave.
That's
right. We're throwing you out in the dark after all the spooky stuff.
Have you seen The Weir many times?
A couple times, twice. Just really, I read it first, and the language of it really struck me, even before I saw the staging of it as well. You know, as you know, it's a fairly simple set. You know, it's the interior of a pub.
Oh, yeah. So I saw it at the Public, the O'Reilly, down in Pittsburgh, where money is no object.
Right.
That's all they had, a couple of bar stools, a bar, and a corner, and a couple of flats. That was it.
Yeah, it's a really, like, it really depends upon the actors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like Wicked or something where you can, even if the acting is subpar, you can watch the effects and be like, that's amazing. It all falls upon the shoulders of the actors, the success or failure. Of course, it's going to be success because we have fabulous actors.
Mm-hmm. I met Connor McPherson.
Oh, no, really?
I did, yeah.
What's he like?
Several years ago. He's very quiet.
Really?
This is quite a few years ago now. Right. I mean, he wasn't unknown by any means.
Sure.
He had done Dublin Carol and Weir and the Limebauer, I think.
Right.
And
a couple of others. Rum and Vodka.
But what struck me, and I don't say this in any derogatory manner whatsoever, he looked like he was about 17 years old. And I was trying to look up, because I said this was quite a few years ago, it was probably 10 years ago. I tried to look up a later picture of him to see if he still looks the same. He's got different glasses now, and he looks much older and much more distinguished.
Yeah.
But I honestly, when he walked, I was going to summer school, and he was the guest speaker for one of the classes. He walked in. I thought he was a student. it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But boy.
He's still in late 30s, 37, yeah, 38, something like that. It's amazing. Yeah.
Both he and McDonough are almost the same age.
Yeah.
They were both born around 1970.
Yeah.
How can you be that young and be that good?
It's completely unfair, isn't it? You know, and that prolific, yeah.
Absolutely. Michael Dittman, good to see you. I hope you'll come back to Butler and do more stuff.
Love to.
Yeah, Jerome, hope you'll come back too.
I'd love to.
Yeah, yeah. And Sue Caller.
I never left, so I'm always here.
Let me tell you something. When I say Sue Caller, longtime board member of the Butler Little Theater, that's being a little bit modest too, just like Jerome. She's a life member of the Butler Little Theater, which you don't get to be without many, many decades of service. So.
Neither of these events could have taken place without Sue's help and the board's help. You know, I just want to say they've been fantastic and just the nicest people. You know, it's nice. I moved to Butler about 3 years ago, and they are among the nicest people, the friendliest that I've met since I've been here.
Mm-hmm. We always try to welcome new people. I think sometimes people that aren't familiar with us think that we're a closed organization, and we're always interested in having new people. We need them, you know, to volunteer. We need them to be on stage, backstage, you know, whatever time they can give us. I mean, we like to welcome new people because an organization that has been going on for 77 years can't continue without new people. Mm-hmm. You have to have a new blood, as they say.
Mm-hmm. And new audiences.
Absolutely.
So if you've never been to the Butler Little Theater, it's a wonderfully intimate theater. Little Theater is well known. It was originally a coach house, right? Yes. Right, Sue?
A stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's been enlarged a little bit. But if you know where to look, mm-hmm. there's still some of the
rings
on the brick walls where they would tie up the horses. I'm not kidding, Jerome.
Yeah.
Jerome, this Saturday night, Connor McPherson and the Weir the following Saturday. Mm-hmm. Thanks, folks, for being here.
Thank you.
Good to have you all.
Good to see you.
Guests from the Butler Little Theater coming up next on the program. We need to take a break here, and we'll switch chairs and bring our other guests in, get everybody mic'd up, and we'll be back and ready to go in a couple of minutes.
There's no denying we enjoy dining out, and we love to cut a rug on occasion as well. It's my pleasure to announce that you can put that dining and dancing together at Tanglewood every second Saturday of the month. A buffet dinner prepared by Chef George starts at 6 o'clock. Dancing from 7 till 10, just $16 per person. Come for just the dance and pay only $8. As always, it's BYOB. Break out your dancing shoes and work up an appetite for Tanglewood's dinner dance every second Saturday of the month. Call 287-0021 for reservations.
Know the capital of Latvia? Well, why not put your trivia knowledge to the test and help a great cause at the same time at Connecting to Tomorrow's Trivia Night on Saturday, October 21st. Doors open at 6 at the Lindora American Legion Hall. Tickets are $15 each. It's BYOB and food will be available. Proceeds benefit Connecting to Tomorrow's mentoring programs. Get tickets online at c2t2017trivia.eventbrite.com. Oh, Riga is the capital of Latvia.
October is National Cooperative Month, and Central Electric would like to talk about what makes us special. We are committed to serving our members with reliable and affordable energy. Central Electric is owned and controlled by our members. They elect board members from the membership, who are your friends and neighbors. Central is a not-for-profit organization, so if we collect more funds than needed to conduct business, we return them to members in the form of capital credits. We are dedicated to educating members, the public, and elected officials about safety and energy issues. We invest in our area's youth through our Good Neighbor Scholarship and Youth Tour programs. We help members facing difficult times through programs like the Family Fund. Central is committed to our members and supporting the communities we serve. This is Ken Molesky with Central Electric Cooperative, powering everyday life for 80 years. Central Electric Cooperative is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for, as I mentioned before, a pretty dreary Thursday. No question about that. We have more guests to visit with us. We're always pleased to talk with the president of Butler County Community College. That's Dr. Nick Neupower, and he's with us in the studio. Dr. Neupower, good to see you as always.
Great to see you as well. Thanks for having us.
And look who's back with us today.
Yes.
Jess Matnock.
Hello.
Hey. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Jess is the Executive Director of Communications and Marketing for Butler County Community College. So nice to have you here today. We have a lot of ground to cover today. This is actually the first part of our Butler County Community College doubleheader. And what does that mean? It means that we have a wonderful lineup of guests tomorrow as we get ready to... as the school gets ready to honor some distinguished alumni. And I think they're going to be with us tomorrow, Ray Steffler and Lucille Shapiro.
Yes.
So I look forward to I've said hello to them. I know Ray pretty well, but
yeah.
I'm anxious to talk about that on tomorrow's program. But other things to talk about at the community college, a lot of stuff going on. Including, and we just had a news story about this, I guess it was a week or so ago, another magnificent gift for the community college. We actually had a little bit of advance word on that. We didn't know any of the specifics, but Dr. Neupower late this summer said, stay tuned. So we were very much in tune when the announcement came of a very generous gift from Janice Phillips Lark.
Yes. Thank you, Dave. Janice's gift, $1 million gift, which very proud to say in, a little over a couple of years, I believe, is our third separate $1 million gift.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the first in our college's history was Bob Heaton for the Heaton Family Learning Commons. The second was from the Wise family, We worked specifically with John Wise to honor his sister Amy with the children's Wise Children's Creative Learning Center. That is a daycare, preschool, teaching lab, etc. And this latest, which will go to benefit the Nursing and Allied Health Program, and we already have an idea as to what will ultimately be coming forward in the next couple of years, is, of course, from Janice Phillips Larrick and her wonderful family. Janice has given not only this $1 million gift, she and her family, but also as an endowed scholarship. Within the past half a year, I believe, a $50,000 gift for a simulation lab for our nursing program. She's a former BC3 student, took classes in the late 60s, and utilized those credits to transfer to a senior institution, and of course she worked in the nursing field. Mm-hmm. We had a great celebration a couple of weeks ago. She is a phenomenal individual. Her children were there, relatives were there, friends were there to honor her along with the gift. And it's something that I said during my speech. So as you know, 10 going on 11 years. So 10 years since 07 I've been president. And when I started as president, and I knew that fundraising was a very important part of what any college or university president does, I frankly viewed it as a transactional part of the job. It's just something that you do throughout the course of a day, week, year, month, year, what have you. But what has surprised me in a very pleasant way is that these relationships with these donors are transformational. And they're transformational. The transformation is these people like Janice, the Wise family, Mr. Heaton, and their impact as leaders in the community has not only elevated our college to be a better place, but has elevated me to be a better president, a better person, and a better friend. And I'm happy to say that this part of my job has involved my wife, my kids, what have you. And Janice is an example in working with Janice and her family that it's inspiring what these people have done in their lives and what they're doing to give back to make this community a better place. In 07, I would have thought that sounds so hokey. It's what any college or university president would say, but it's real. These people believe in what it is that we're doing. All of these individuals, including the Hunter family, had, and I'll be specific about Janice and then her children and also her husband, Harold, multiple meetings with me in which they were very serious and said, we want to hear your vision as president. We want to see your plans. We want to see your financials. We want a commitment that you're in it for the long run as BC3's president. And I answer those questions honestly. That comes as a result of many meetings, hopefully have developed into a friendship. So I know this is a very long answer, but I'll tell you, Janice is so inspirational and is a transformational leader, and we are just honored to continue to recognize the very important Phillips name.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Janice. I do not know Mr. Wise. I also know Mr. Bob Heaton, and they are pretty amazing people. There's no question about it, all of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, a wonderful gift. Wow. And really opens up the future for the already very successful nursing program at Butler County Community College.
I can say this, as I said in the meeting that we had yesterday morning, I might talk a little bit more in detail about that. I want the listeners to know we are all in for our nursing program, all in. We have plans for new nursing and allied health building. We have maybe an opportunity from a board perspective to get some expertise in healthcare industry. We are all in for expanding our program. It's a highly competitive, selective program. We expand the program. You have to have the bricks and mortar. You have to have the equipment. You need to make an investment in the full-time faculty. You need to make sure that the students have the appropriate licensure scores so that our nursing program is accredited. We have a great leader in nursing, Patty Anier. We also have this new vice president that I've talked about before, Dr. Richardson. So I'll make a public statement on the airwaves to hear to the listeners that we are all in for nursing. And it over the coming years, couple of years, hopefully even a little bit earlier, we will be able to clarify those plans. The need for qualified, educated nurses has not gone away, and we're ready to meet that community need.
If anything, that's a great career for the future, and demographics of the population as a whole indicate that there'll be even a growing need for us. That's wonderful news.
We get about 200 applicants every year to the nursing program, and right now we only accept around 70. There's room for about that many in the program, so this will give us the opportunity to accept more students into the program, as it is one of the premier programs on campus.
That's a very good point. So you know the high school demographics. We talk about it. I'll tell you, I'm very impressed with Butler's new superintendent, Dr. White. He is a very wise, smart young fellow who I think will do a phenomenal job. And we're talking a great deal just about how Butler High continues to decline in terms of its graduating classes. So right now, the market is so competitive to grab those graduating high school seniors. And I think while we're looking to improve in many ways and building enrollment, long gone are the days when we're growing double digits like early in my presidency. Okay. Well, how's the way that you grow enrollment? You create new programs or you expand on existing successful programs. And while this is also meeting a community need, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that we're also expecting increased enrollment, not only in the nursing program, but those students who take pre-nursing classes to get caught up to speed with what it needs for their academic credentials that can then perhaps go into medical coding, medical assisting, physical therapy. And we're even looking into a new degree that can capture these students that don't make the cut for the nursing program. And that could be something like a healthcare administration as well.
Wonderful news. We're talking to the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, visiting with us here on the program today. We have an item on our agenda today that is titled A Clear Path Forward. And I need some help on understanding just what that means, Dr. Neupower.
Isn't it clear?
Well, very clear to us, Dave.
I can understand the words, but it seems like there's a lot behind that.
Yes. And actually, we should have brought you in a copy of this. We will the next time.
We will, yes.
So this is our strategic plan, and it would be either my third or fourth strategic plan as president, and had this wonderful idea with Jessica and her staff that I wanted something that was easy to grasp, easy to understand, easy to present to our internal and external stakeholders. Wanted to show off our beautiful campus. So this clear path forward, the artwork in this particular brochure shows all the different paths that we have on our campus that is symbolic not only in going forward, but also for the success that we've had in the past. Our past strategic plans have led to campus beautification efforts, have led toward regionalization, and you remember the controversy associated a while back with that, improving our athletics program, as well as campus safety and security. And while we've had many more successes from our previous strategic plans, those are four that come to mind.
By the way, these are multi-year plans. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Do you generally go in the same, I don't know, like 5 years, 7 years, something like that?
That's actually a good question, and that's something that we've talked about. We there's no right or wrong for that. I've seen strategic plans that are 3, 5, 7, and then beyond 10. Ours is basically a five-year model, although I'll talk a little bit about a facilities master plan and how that works in. And while that is on the same five-year model, that is structured so that there are projects that are a decade from now well into the future. Let's go back to 07 when I became president. I understood a strategic plan. I didn't understand its significance. The significance is this. In black and white, and from a president's perspective, Jess's perspective, Jess is not only in communications but part of the executive team, it is very clear. It's the direction in which we are heading for the institution. So was Ronald Reagan who said, tell them again, and just when you think you've told them enough, tell them one more time. If people really would listen to what it is that I say as a president, you would often hear a repeat of the same message. And it's not only a repeat of the same verbal message, but it is also something that is etched in black and white, so we can point the college in the same direction. There's a very detailed methodology where we have internal and external stakeholders who provide feedback. We provide operating budget. We dedicate positions towards some of these strategic initiatives. And the four paths that we have in our strategic pathways through 22, obviously a focus on our students, our resources, excellence, and one I'm excited, very excited about, focuses on our role in the communities we serve. And as I said to a group of about 40 executives and CEOs at a meeting yesterday in which I kicked off our strategic plan to these external members of the community, we're returning back home. We are emphasizing Butler County and more specifically the downtown Butler area. And that is embedded into this community's pathway.
Hmm. Wow. That is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. It is something. We'll see where this goes. Now, remember, we've been doing this long enough, way back when in the strategic plan that emphasized regionalization, not only external controversies but internal controversies. But what a great example of that serving as the guidepost. And before we had that, we weren't in separate buildings with support from the state in Newcastle, in Sharon, in Ford City, and in Brockway. So there's a great example. Someone would have looked at that in 08 and said, what are they thinking here? Now you have the benefit of looking back 9 years, and that's exactly where we are. So there might be some individuals, okay, downtown Butler, what is it that you mean? We're interested in a presence in downtown Butler, working with all of these different groups that are looking to help the Main Street. I think that Main Street and downtown Butler, I think that there are already some really great underpinnings as to a paradigm shift and a moving forward and progress in downtown Butler. And with appropriate, perhaps governmental help, donor support, we're already looking at programmatic initiatives. We believe in the town and gown economic development model that focuses on the town, in this case, the city of Butler, partnering with the gown, academic regalia, the college or the university. And we're excited because we think that we're strong enough that we can help all of those who are looking to improve the city of Butler with our relationship and our skin in the game.
Hmm. You know, I was going to ask you, I actually wrote down in my notebook here, town and gown, and I scratched it out because I wasn't sure whether that applied or not. I was in State College this summer, and incredibly close relationship in town and gown, for lack of a better phrase, yeah, between the borough of State College and University Park, the campus.
Yes.
And they're right next to each other, but there's a real symbiotic relationship there.
Yes.
They help each other to grow.
Yes, they do. We've studied this at great depth. You made the trip to Altoona. Yeah, so speaking of Penn State, and this example is so pertinent, and ironically, we have family, my wife's family is from Altoona. Well, let's even go back some. Altoona, Butler, Elwood City, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, we know the history, particularly dating back to the 1980s, mm-hmm. Okay, early 1980s. We know what happened.
Lost a lot of heavy industry.
Mm-hmm. Lots. Yeah. And you know what happens in terms of population, door fronts closing. Whether you like it or not, the impact of the internet, the impact of Walmart, what have you. So there was a big time period where downtowns, the way that we grew up, were quite different. And what a great chancellor from Penn State Altoona, Lori Bechtel-Wary is her name, with the constraints of the Penn State system needing to filter back to the mothership. Those branch campuses don't have near the flexibility that we have. Lori is from the Altoona area. Lori understands what is a very unique Western Pennsylvania phenomenon, and that is referencing where things used to be. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how often we give directions in downtown Butler. And I don't say that in a bad way. I think that it could be worked into a positive. People remember how downtown Elwood City, my hometown, how it used to be. And what Lori ended up doing was working with the government, the equivalent of the CDC, the Sheets family, because you know the Sheets started in Altoona, and started moving some of Penn State Altoona, very much like BC3, about a mile and a half on a hill from the downtown area into vacant storefronts. So the old radio station now houses the communication department.
Hmm.
The old theater now houses the theater program. We now have the Sheets Innovation Center, which focuses on entrepreneurship, in which Steve Sheets is an adjunct faculty member. And Steve Sheets gives to the foundation so that there are star students that receive full rides. And they're not only being taught entrepreneurship, but they're being taught by Steve Sheets. And just the feel, Dave, of walking with the paw prints, the banners. And let me take it one step further. Altoona, of course, railroad industry. Penn State Altoona has a very unique, one-of-a-kind baccalaureate and master's degree in railroad engineering.
Hmm. I didn't know that. The curve is there, the Altoona curve. Yeah.
Exactly. And as Lori tells the story, is then whenever she was meeting with a donor in a vacant building with the pigeon droppings, the broken windows, and overlooked the railroad tracks and the museum, the railroad museum, and this particular individual accumulated wealth with the railroad industry. She brings it all together and sets the vision, not only for what the bricks and mortar could look like, but also the programming. And I would say not in any way to compare myself with this wonderful chancellor, but those were the type of discussions that you have with, that we had with the Phillips family. Really, my favorite part of my job is the importance and significance of storytelling. And that ties to our background. It is important to set that vision with the appropriate story of the past and also the future. And again, we are ready for the town and gown for downtown Butler.
Mm. Exciting stuff. Dream big. That's what I'm thinking. You know, wow. We need to take a quick break here. Much more to talk about with our guests, so I hope you can stay with us. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store here in Butler. If you're getting ready to start cleaning up for the holidays, you realize how close they are. It's the middle of October. It will be this weekend. So holidays are just around the corner. If you're doing some cleanup, whether it's the guest bedroom or the hall closet or just general cleanup, please think about donating any items that you don't want any longer to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. They'll be able to sell those items. Somebody will be able to use them. And all the proceeds from the operation of the thrift store help to fund the food bank, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, and their client aid program. But, you're not going to use this stuff anyway, right? You're going to throw it away, whether it's furniture, clothing, shoes, whatever, even knickknacks. They'll take it. If you have a lot of stuff, a lot of furniture, you can call them. They'll come and get it. But otherwise, it's very easy to donate items. The thrift store is located in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South, and there's tons of free parking right next to the door. The donation drop-off bins are right inside the front door. It's really seconds. We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a good thought. It's a wonderful thought, actually. Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. One of our other sponsors on the program today is DBS Telecommunications. It's a local telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer serving our area, not just Butler, but the whole western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh area. We know them well because we have utilized their services and their expertise here at Butler Radio Network for many, many years. In fact, I just saw one of the DBS Telecommunications technicians here at the radio station a week or so ago. Here's what they do. They sell, install, and repair telephones for your office, and primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems, custom-designed networks, including fiber optics. They feature high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems, 5-year warranty. I've never seen anything like these. Everybody wants surveillance camera system these days. They go a step further. They have high-definition surveillance camera systems, multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. They even do cabling for voice data and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. Give them a call. See what they can do for you. DBS Telecommunications, 724-285-9088, 285-9088. They're on the web at dbs-tel.com. Our guest on the It's Your Turn program today, the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower. Also visiting with us is Jess Matnock. She's the executive director of communications and marketing. It was earlier this week, I can remember reading the news story. Was it Monday that Sam Quinones was here to speak?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay, a couple of days ago. That's a nationally known author.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a pretty big get to have him come and speak at BC3. Yes.
So important in a lot of ways, and actually pertains to what we were talking about prior to the break. But few points. One is it's a great example of being the community's college. Great example. Great journalist, world renowned, talking about the drug issue, the opiate drug issue, and we go forward. All of the commissioners are very interested in helping with this issue out in the community, and we show our very strong relationship with this group of commissioners and need a facility. Well, we're prepared for 400 individuals. While we didn't quite have 400, we had every bit of 250 people coming. It was an opportunity to showcase the college, which is very important to get people to come to the main campus. It was simulcast to about four or five different counties. I think it was wonderful to show the significance of collaboration with other counties. There were a number of county commissioners and executives from across the state from other counties, not just Butler. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's something that we've embraced a long time ago as a regional institution. And you have Sam, who talks about Dreamland. He's the author of Dreamland, The True Tale of Americans' Opiate Epidemic, and writes this book where, interestingly, it goes back to what we were talking about, the decline. Now, there were lots and lots of variables. He talked about how the Cold War ended and how that played into this larger problem. Pharmaceuticals, who were basically working with doctors in a time period where there weren't as many restrictions in your work with doctors. There could be perks such as nice trips, what have you, for the doctors. But really selling the fact to the doctor's offices that this is not an addictive, painkillers are not addictive. Okay. Then you throw in the fact, and this is all what the author is saying, then you throw in the fact that doctors are now evaluated on their relationships with their patients. And how often have we gone into the doctors and on a scale from 0 to 10, tell us where the pain is? And he makes the larger point that during the Cold War, we just had assumed the way that we all grew up, that pain was part of growing up. Now you have the participation trophies. Now you have the padded playgrounds. Now you have the bicycle helmets. And I'm not offering an opinion on any of the aforementioned. This is what the author was talking about, society-wise, where we are, not to mention helicopter pilots or helicopter parents. Decline of the industry, steel industry. You have many towns throughout the Rust Belt that look the same. And you have individuals who basically just want any pain from their lives removed, and there's the overprescription, and all of a sudden something that was not a problem a while back becomes a problem.
Kind of a perfect storm. Sam Quinones, by the way, folks, if you're not familiar with him, he's an award-winning journalist for the Los Angeles Times for a long time. And there was a period not all that long ago when we thought of the opioid crisis as an urban problem.
That's correct.
Los Angeles, okay. This book, Dreamland, and his talk at Butler County Community College a couple of nights ago. As I understand it, I was not able to be there, but it talks about how this has become a crisis in rural America.
Absolutely.
Not the big cities, not the slum areas, in rural America, which would have been unthinkable.
That's
15
right.
or 20 years ago.
He went over the history long, long, long ago with organized crime, that this was something that these drugs would come over from the old country, and it were very expensive for the elite, in part because of just bringing it from Europe. And then tracing how this worked its way from Mexico to the West Coast. And in researching this, great, great writer. I think that you would have appreciated, Dave, that he was coming at this from a journalist point of view. And reading that in Huntington, West Virginia, over a weekend, there were 10 young kids that died of an overdose. And he found that very interesting. And then when he went to Huntington, found out that it was an overworked, underpaid county government, judicial, coroner, medical, that weren't prepared at all for this. Think of that. That's an interesting variable. He brought up a good takeaway. Kentucky has about 120 counties, and his home state of California has about 54. Now, what does that have to do with this problem? Think of the county government and how stretched county government is to work together to address a problem.
Yeah.
There was a speaker afterward that asked, talked about her advocacy, her own personal story, and mentioned to Sam if he wouldn't mind kind of helping and speaking on behalf of her particular cause to deal this problem. And as a true journalist, he said, that's not my responsibility. I want you to know I am a journalist. I am a reporter. And while I admire what it is that you're advocating, what your cause is, that's not who I am. I'm a journalist. The interviewing this Mexican cartel in jail, and how significant drugs and carrying the drugs to the United States, people who were very poor, no education whatsoever, and how whenever they're working into the United States, how they are rewarded monetarily and how that can take care of their family for generations. And I appreciated the talk in a lot of ways, but one was being trained as a journalist also.
I didn't realize, and it's appropriate to get a big-name speaker like this coming in. First of all, this is another point that you mentioned earlier, Dr. Neupower, of being the community's college.
Yeah.
You bring a big-name speaker like this in to talk about an issue that's obviously a crisis for us here in Butler County. I didn't realize you had this simulcast set up, that it was... people from different parts of the state were listening in, watching it at the same time. It's pretty neat.
I was on Clarion's website that day for whatever reason, and on the front page of its website, it talked about Sam speaking at Butler County Community College. So, yeah, it was simulcast. I will tell you, Commissioner Boozle was really a big part of this, and he bringing in all of these different county commissioners, and the county commissioners had something to do with the simulcast back in their area also. Very interesting talk that is quite pertinent to the discussion that we were having. And I guess the easiest way to put it is that when you have a boarded up downtown, an industry moving from the downtown, it does correlate to some of these drug problems. And the author's point was, when you can elevate a downtown area and make it vibrant, and kind of what you see. Penn State Altoona mentioned this. It wasn't a very safe area, these two streets that Penn State Altoona focused on. And now you have this vibrancy in these programs, these 18 to 22-year-olds, coffee shops, restaurants, what have you. And by default, it squeezes out some of the problems, frankly. And I think that's another exciting opportunity about our town and gown relationship with the city.
We mentioned earlier when we touched on the very generous recent gifts to Butler County Community College, we mentioned the Amy Wise Children's Creative Learning Center. I know from the news story that I read last week here on the air that construction is well underway on this project. I think it started this summer, didn't it? Was there an ETA, an estimated time of arrival for the opening the doors?
It'll open in January. It's set to open
yes.
in January
oh, okay.
For the spring 2018 semester.
So. And we're ahead of schedule, which I think is a real tribute to Brian Opitz, our phenomenal executive director of operations. We're well ahead of schedule, and what that means is that rather than using a holiday break to move things around and get things ready, if this is done in November, then it's just that much sooner that we can get to our children's creative learning program, daycare. In the past, it's also served as a kindergarten, preschool, what have you, is that we can get things situated and then be up and running. But yes, we are certainly ahead of schedule. And Dave, it's that it's the original ARMCO, the original four ARMCO buildings on our campus.
I was just going to ask you where it is. I know only a little shred of the history of this because it used to be, did it not, in that circular building that was in campus next to the outdoor arena. I'm forgetting all the names here. The one that was destroyed when a tree fell on it.
Yes.
The Armstrong Lodge.
Armstrong Lodge. Lodge. Thank you very much. I could have sat here till next Thursday, and that was not going to come to me. But some of our listeners who have been around a while would remember that, Armstrong Lodge. And yes, it did sit right next to the outdoor arena there. But that building was destroyed in a storm.
Yes, it was.
A gargantuan tree came down and just broke it to support. There was nobody in there
Luckily,
at the time.
No one was in at the time.
It was a Sunday evening, and as a result, the controversy that had been associated with us removing some trees from campus for all these capital projects was a thing of the past. And I really mean that. And actually, we had another tree go through a building. And that was the social sciences building, although the damage wasn't as extensive as the CCLC. And again, that was on a weekend.
So you had to, after this incident, the center was moved, but it was pretty tiny space, right? I mean, this is going to be grand whenever this one is done.
Yeah, it was moved to where the bookstore was. Which is in between the social sciences building and the hospitality building,
yes.
Which is where the new Amy Wise CCLC will be, mm-hmm. or is currently being constructed. And the bookstore moved to the new Student Success Center at the time.
That's good. Jockeying. That's where it should be. Yeah.
Correct.
Excellent.
So it'll connect the... Right now, those two buildings, the hospitality and social science, were separate buildings, and the new facility will connect the two buildings, or the renovated facility.
It's absolutely beautiful. As a matter of fact, when we were taking John Wise, Amy's brother, to the CCLC, Ruth Purcell and I were walking toward the building, and as we were walking down the ramp to the left, was a plaque of the original Board of Trustees and where those trustees held some of the early graduations. Hmm. And wouldn't you know that John Wise's father's name was on that plaque.
Wow.
And as we went into this very cramped quarters, because they were temporary with the tree through the Armstrong Lodge, and just if a picture could paint 1,000 words, you have very well-behaved kids, but very cramped. And as we were able to show John the plans for what this connected building would look like and the architecture that was done for us by Stantec, and of course Stantec with the Burt Hill Kosar Riddleman roots. John looked at it and said, my goodness, this looks exactly like my parents' house used to. Hmm. And of course, how many houses in Butler would go to Burt Hill for an updating and refreshing? I mean, that was the case with Fred and Sue Bennett, obviously with Mr. and Mrs. Riddleman, what have you. And it was just one of those things. The Wise family had been great supporters, the newspaper of the college, everything aligned. Now we're moving forward with an expanded facility. It's very important to John that it have a lot of appropriate glitz, instructional space. It will also have lab space for our students who are observing their education majors, ed psych majors, social work majors. It will be multi-purpose, And again, we're on track and hoping it'll be ready for the spring semester.
We'll take a quick break, and we have some more subjects to discuss here on the It's Your Turn program today. One of our sponsors is, and folks, I've just heard about this fairly recently, maybe for you too, Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E. Here's the deal. It's personalized one-on-one care. And for something like improving your hearing, what could be better? One-on-one personalized care. Your hearing aid will be measured to fit your ear. Kelly is not interested in selling you the highest-priced hearing aid. She'll tell you that straight away. In fact, you'll save thousands because there's no overhead. But she's also interested to make sure that it's comfortable. A lot of folks, when they get to a stage in life where they realize they need a hearing aid, they get some. They can hear, but they don't wear it all the time because it hurts. It's not comfortable. Forget about that with Kelly. One-on-one personalized care. Complimentary consultation. So many people who have made the change or talked with Kelly, consulted with Kelly, they're so happy that they did. Give her a call. The Hearing Aid Lady. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly, 724-756-4327. 756-4327. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
We have some names to talk about as we get our update on what's happening at Butler County Community College and surrounding campus locations as well, including for Brockway students. There is a new freshman scholarship, and that's kind of nice because Brockway is your newest location, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And this is so incredibly unique. Our model for scholarships, for the most part, has been merit-based, which is that you enroll at BC3, you apply for a scholarship after you're admitted. Now, you have federal grants and state grants that are applied on the front end, but we're switching our model to where we can have some merit and needs-based scholarship on the front end. And if you think of that, it's something that private institutions have been doing a while. And these scholarships, when coupled with the state and the federal grants, basically makes it to where, depending upon the need for the student, is that students would have some money left over that could help for travel, daycare, books, lodging, etc. So, Jess, this is an exciting opportunity for us.
Yes, so this is the funding for this scholarship is from the Verichetti Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The Verichetti family is committed to supporting education in that Brockway area.
I was just going to say, is this a family from the Brockway area?
Correct, and yes. we have a current scholarship, the Verichetti Family Incentive Scholarship, and that is academic merit-based. But this new scholarship, which will be available this spring, 2018, is what we're calling the Frank Verichetti Freshman Scholarship, and this is the one that combines the academic merit and financial need. Students can be awarded between $250 and $1,250, just depending on where they fall between the academic and financial needs. So,
other names from Butler County Community College in the news, Joe Taylor. We know Joe. He's been a guest on the program before. General manager at Armstrong, and he's a newly named trustee, is
yes.
that right?
Yes. We have a great board of trustees at the college, and you'll talk about Ray tomorrow, and he's been a wonderful longtime member of the trustees, longtime board chair, and we had some vacancies on our board, so we talked to the county commissioners. County commissioners have final approval, and we have Joe Taylor. Jess, what, you used to work with Joe?
Yeah, I worked at Armstrong before I came to BC3, and so that's how I know Joe from my time there, and he's a great guy.
And I was on the board at the chamber with Joe. I'm on the CDC board with Joe. We do a lot of training for Armstrong. Armstrong was a very big donor to the Heat and Family Learning Commons. So Joe brings a great community perspective. Joe's on a lot of different boards in the area. And he brings a great community perspective, excited in terms of tapping into his expertise on the academic side. But I've already had some discussions with Joe about this elevation of the city and the town and gown relationship. So he'll add a lot. We have two seats that are still out there, and we've had some discussion with the commissioners, and there might be some movement in terms of final approval for these other two board openings very soon.
Mm-hmm. United Way recently completed its Day of Caring, and I understand you had quite a few employees from the college who helped out on the various projects.
Yes.
Do you happen to know anywhere where they were working?
Absolutely. Yeah, we had 13 employees participate, and that was on Friday, October 6th.
It was last week, yeah.
Yes. And they helped call bingo at the Pass Event Retirement Community. They did some painting at the Slippery Rock Area Parks and Recreation, and they also did landscaping at Life Steps. So we had those 13 split up into the different groups to help each of those areas.
Mm-hmm. Not the first time, I would imagine, that some employees at BC3 helped out on the United Way Day of Caring.
Not at all. And you had mentioned the significance of being the community's college. This is an important part of that. We're actually going to do something coming up here that Jess's predecessor, Susan, for our 50th anniversary, we had a way of individuals in the campus community to log their service hours. And we're going to reinstitute that because we have lots of people who give time as a board member, volunteering, what have you. And while it's not about the quantification and the hours and the big picture, but we do think it's important that it helps to tell our story. So our college does give back to the communities that we serve. I think that something we do a very good job of at the college is analyzing the different boards. This was not something earlier in my presidency, but now we spend time at the executive level, understanding the significance of the boards in which we serve. So Jess, as an example, you've been a past member of the Leadership Butler Board.
Yep. I've served on the Blind Association Board, and I got involved with that because that was our project when I was in the Leadership Butler County class.
Okay.
So those types of things get you networking and serving in the community. So.
We have Lisa Campbell, who is the chair of AM Rotary. We have Case, who's on the United Way Board. We have Jim Roboski, who's on a number of boards in the past, the Boy Scouts. Now also the credit union. Ruth is on a ton of boards, including the YMCA. I'm on the CDC, used to be a health clinic. We could go on and on and on. My point for bringing this up is that we want there to be a larger strategy, not just to occupy a seat, but how is the relationship that you have as a board member something you can bring back to the college so that it could perhaps forge new partnerships, new collaborations, working together in a joint fashion. So community involvement and service is very important. It's not only the right thing, but we're looking at it in a strategic way to forge those partnerships.
Dr. Neupower mentioned earlier in our conversation today that in a past strategic plan, this would have been several years ago, one of the areas of focus was improving athletic programs. Well, we had a pretty doggone good men's golf team this fall at Butler County Community College. I don't know if they're totally done yet. I know the regular season is over, and they just won a postseason title, right, Jess?
They did. They won a 12-stroke victory over Westmoreland County Community College, and that was this past Sunday at the Links at Spring Church in Apollo.
Mm-hmm. So that's the Western Pennsylvania Community College Championship again.
Yep.
And I understand It's not a rare thing anymore around here.
No, the team has been doing great, led by Coach Bill Miller, who was named Coach of the Year consecutively for several years now. And we had some students that were named to the all-conference team as well. Michael Rossi, Tyler Good of Lincoln High, and Noah Morgan of Allegheny County Valley High were named to the team. And we had our first female on the team, Julia Fisher. So that's exciting, too. It's the first time Miller, I believe, has coached a female on the golf team. Or
speaking
time.
Of women in sports, and I read the story this morning on the morning news. The women's volleyball team has had quite a successful year at Butler County Community College. They just won another match, and I think they play tomorrow night at the Field House. I'm doing this from memory. I read the story a couple of times this morning. We've talked in the past, and I know your philosophy on this, Dr. Neupower. Sure, sports is an extracurricular activity, but it's so important in developing esprit de corps and mm-hmm. school spirit, and it's really a part of the college experience.
Absolutely, and throw in the fact that we are Western Pennsylvania. And athletics and the significance in Western Pennsylvania goes back to when my great-grandfather came over from Italy, or when my father or my grandfather on the other side came over from Czechoslovakia. And my dad, as he would tell the story, and other great aunts and uncles would say that while they felt inequalities for their religion or their background, when you got on the football field, you got on a basketball court, or you got into a boxing ring, that was something where those inequalities were wiped out. I think that is somewhat unique to Western Pennsylvania because there is heritage that is involved. There is significance and importance that is involved. As you mentioned, we did address this in a previous strategic plan. There was a period, I'd say several years ago, where we were struggling even, and ironically, this is when we had great enrollments at the college, where we were struggling with fielding teams. We looked at the salaries that we're paying our coach. We wanted to have the right coaches in there. We wanted to make sure that we had full rosters. We wanted to make sure that not only did we have full rosters, but these students were doing well in school, retention, graduation, and then not so coincidentally, the winning resulted. So women's volleyball, women's basketball, golf, women's softball, and of course in the past we've had success with baseball and men's basketball as well. But it does speak to a larger strategy, and tying back to our communities that we serve, but also understanding the significance, as you mentioned, in terms of college spirit, involvement, getting people to campus. It's all worked well together. Shout out to our athletic director, Tori and Rob Snyder at the college. Great coaches as well. So all coming together, and most recently, yes, our golf team as well as our women's volleyball.
It's a little bit tougher most students, the vast majority, are there for 2 years. And that's a whole lot different than when you're at a four-year school and you have time to mesh and so on and so forth. There's not a whole lot of time to put a team together, to get a team to gel.
Well, and also throw in the fact that we're in Newcastle, Sharon. I don't know that we have athletes from Brockway, but we have had students who have taken classes at our off-campus locations also. Mm-hmm. So you throw that into the mix in terms of travel time, what have you. That's correct.
I don't know how student athletes find time in today's day and age. It's so, you're so busy studying and in many cases part-time work. It's hard to be successful in sports, so I salute those student athletes. We need to take a break. We got midday lottery numbers. We'll be back with a couple of more thoughts from our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR, back right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 8484. Pick three is 922922. The pick four is 0843. The pick five, 89457. The wild ball for each of those is 4. And the treasure hunt, 21, 24, 26, 27, and 28. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Well, the holidays are coming, and that means your office will start receiving tasteless tins of popcorn, boring baskets of fruit and nuts, and a plethora of 2018 calendars. Ugh. Give your clients something better, something memorable, and something that says Butler. Like a custom gift box from Cummings Candy and Coffee, you can choose from an assortment of chocolate-covered chips, pretzels, graham crackers, and cherry cordials. Add in a half-pound bag of Butler's own proprietary blend of coffee, the Main Street Roast. Call Barry for your corporate order. Cummings Candy and Coffee, serving the Butler community since 1905 and now in three locations.
Welcome back, folks. Gosh, time is flying by here today. There is, is there one open house, two open houses? Jess, help me out here. It's that time of the year, though, isn't it?
There are many open houses. Kicks off tonight at BC3 at Linden Point. That would be our first open house of the semester. That is our location in Hermitage.
Now, an open house is for prospective students?
Correct, yes.
In some cases, depending on their age. Parents of prospective students would be welcome as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They can learn about programs. They can tour the facilities. They meet with academic faculty, learn more about programs. The great perk about our open house events is that if you apply to BC3 at one of the events, we waive the application fee. So the first one is tonight at Linden Point, and then our main campus open house is Wednesday, October 18th at 6.
Which is next Wednesday.
It's next Wednesday from 6 to 8. And coming up also is the Brockway open house, where you, if you're interested in learning more about the new Frank Verichetti Freshman Scholarship, you can find out more about that opportunity on Monday, October 23rd from 5:30 to 6:30. That's at Brockway.
And the waiver is, again, for the because some people may not realize this. There's a fee when you
There's a $25 application fee, but if you apply to BC3 at any of our open house events, there's one at Linden Point, Brockway, Lawrence Crossing, Armstrong, and Main Campus this semester. If you apply at the event, the application fee is waived.
You might be able to buy another book for that. Maybe not these days.
That's right.
I'm not sure. We had touched earlier, in case you weren't with us at the beginning of our conversation, quite an honor for two individuals, Ray Steffler and Lucille Shapiro. They have been selected as distinguished alums from Butler County Community College, and they will be honored will be honored tomorrow, because I think they're both scheduled to be here, all things being equal. So I'll enjoy chatting with them tomorrow, along with Michelle Jameson, scheduled to be here tomorrow as well. So we'll look forward to that. I haven't talked with Ray Steffler in a long time. I'll be anxious to see him again. He's a good guy.
And Lucille's. Let me just say this. I know they're coming on tomorrow, and we have the event on Saturday. As I was quoted in one of our releases, true blue pioneers. Slit their arms, what have you, you would see blue and white. They are so dedicated. They love the college. They've not only given their time, their skills, their knowledge. They've both been personal mentors for my wife and I. But they've also given their own resources in terms of scholarships, foundation. So we're looking forward to a great event on Saturday for the Oak Hills Legacy Dinner. I'm sure that Michelle will tell you that it is a packed house. We give about $200,000 in scholarships. Our foundation side of the house and our private giving for capital and scholarships is not only tops among community colleges. I hope the listeners realize I would put BC3 up against any nearby college or university. Now, Grove City does a very good job of raising money, but any state school and some of these other private institutions, million-dollar gifts do not come around often, and in less than 3 years, we've received three. And here's another tease, I think, you know, maybe in the coming months, is that we'll be able to announce another big one. So Ray and Lucille have a great deal to do with spreading the good word about BC3.
The president of Butler County Community College, it's always a pleasure to talk with Dr. Nick Newpower and Jess Matnock, Executive Director of Communications and Marketing, with us today as well. Now, to wrap up our program, once again, don't forget Penguin Hockey has started. And yes, we've got Penguin Hockey again here on WISR, live radio play-by-play, tonight from where? Tampa, right? Yeah, Tampa Bay. 7 o'clock airtime for Penguin Hockey on WISR tonight. News coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, where local news is number one, with the expanded report on the news at noon every day, only on Butler County's news, sports, and talk station, WISR, 680 AM Butler.
From kickoff to the coaches' press conference, we are Steelers game day.
Touchdown!